Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we talked to a guy who has ultimate institutional knowledge of what happens in our capital city. Sean Wetty will be here. He's the Capital Bureau Chief of the Nevada News Bureau. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Rita Black Prothrow, Sean Carey, and Larry Mathias. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
This was dishonest.
I'm not in favor of a $5 trillion tax cut.
Romney's being dishonest here, too.
According to an independent, nonpartisan study, Barack Obama and the liberals will raise taxes on the middle class.
The chairman of that so-called independent group is from Romney's former company. Dick Cheney's on its board. Newt Gingrich was there, too. It's not independent. It's just not true.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to this program, Sean Wetty. He is the Capital Bureau Chief for the Nevada News Bureau, which is syndicated all across the state to various newspapers and news organizations. Pleasure to have you here, sir. I spoke with Richard Perkins last week, former Assembly Speaker, and we were talking about voter registration. He said, well, the Democrats at the time had a 60,000 advantage in registration. Now it's around 70,000. He said he would be more comfortable for the down-ticket side if it was up around 80,000. Your thoughts on those numbers?
I think he makes a good point because with Democratic registrations, the numbers are good. But election day, the turnout isn't always as reflective of those numbers as it could be. So if I were Democrats, I too would want as big a cushion as I could get going into election day. Republicans generally seem to be more known to turn out and vote in greater numbers. So for the Democratic side, they have to be concerned about whether the folks show up, whether they vote early. Even with Senator Reid's well-known machine of getting out voters on election day, it's still an issue that I would be concerned with as well.
You're talking about that enthusiasm gap, and it seems like Republicans or conservatives are much more enthusiastic about this election than the Democrats were, which is kind of reversed from 2008. You know, independents really are going to be the folks who decide the elections here. Do you have any thought on where they're breaking?
I have asked candidates about that. I've asked the party folks about that, and of course they both seem to think their polling indicates that they're going to draw the independents, and they will be huge. They're 17% of the electorate right now. Where they are, if they're undecided or not, I don't know, but Republicans seem to think that they're going to draw more numbers, and the Democrats seem to think that they're going to do okay. So I'm sort of thinking that the Republicans are probably going to do a little better with the independents, at least a little better than the Democrats.
And it's interesting because in this state, you can have a situation where you have a huge Democratic advantage, but yet you end up with a Governor Sandoval.
Absolutely. It's true in Nevada that those majorities don't always pan out for candidates, because in Nevada a lot of folks vote for people on a personality basis, and Governor Sandoval was very popular when he ran and people liked him, and I'm sure a lot of people crossed over to vote for him from the Democratic side, and a lot of independents voted for him. So personality is a huge part of what's happening.
You think that's going to play a part, personality, in, let's say, the Heck Oseguera race, where Oseguera has, the Democrat has the advantage in Congressional District 3 against sitting Congressman Joe Heck, and then again in Congressional District 4, where Stephen Horsford has, I believe, a 9-point advantage, registration advantage, Democratic advantage, over the Republican candidate Danny Tarkanian.
Yeah, he has a 30,000 vote edge in that new Congressional District. So it'll be very key for Senator Horsford to get that turnout for him in Clark County. The rural counties, obviously there's some Democratic voters there too, but they went big for Republican Danny Tarkanian in the primary. The Republicans did, and there's a lot of voters there that are going to support him. So if he can get that turnout on Election Day, that's going to really be the key for a lot of those races. With Oseguera and Heck, if I was Oseguera, I'd be like Mr. Perkins, a little concerned about the registration numbers right now.
Does it surprise you that several liberal columnists in the state have actually gone on and attacking congressional candidates who are liberals themselves?
I can't really comment on what would motivate somebody to attack a candidate in that regard, but
does it?
You're talking about Jim Rogers calling Horsford and Oseguera arrogant idiots.
I don't want to name any names because I don't want to get into that. But it just surprises me that in an election that's going to be pretty tight across the state, that you have people from the home team, you know, attacking their members. And you've been covering politics in the state a long time.
Well, that is unusual to see people not unified on the party side of things. So I would be very concerned if there were liberal folks out there supporting Democrats who weren't on board all the way with the team and the ticket all the way down. And that could affect certainly independent voters, especially because they might begin to question what's going on here, what's wrong here, is there an issue here I don't know about that should concern me. Of course, on the Republican side, you've got somewhat of a dysfunctional state party, to put it mildly, and their voter registration efforts have not really done well. So,
Sean, do you think that hurts the brand ID, where somebody who may in the past have registered Republican, they see the antics that go on in the party and they go, you know what, I'm a conservative, but I really don't want to put that elephant brand on me, so I'm going to go ahead and put an I next to my name?
Well, the vote for none of the above category is still on the ballot, so who knows exactly what that'll pull come Election Day. There could be dissatisfied voters who just opt out of some races that have that option. But I think for the most part, Republicans might be concerned about what's happening with the party, but they're going to vote the party come Election Day. The independents may look at that too and say, well, I'm not sure about the party organization, but I'm voting for the candidate. I'm voting for the person I think is going to do the job.
All right, let's take a break. More with Sean Whaley when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is South Reno's new hotspot to meet friends and relax in our lounge. Sip handcrafted cocktails, chilled martinis, and world-class wines. Dine on sizzling signature fillets, ribeyes, and prime New York steaks. Fresh seafood and homemade desserts. North of the Summit Mall on South Virginia, the Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge.
Today, I had a core biopsy done of my breast because of suspicions of cancer. For him to take that position, that I should have to pay for that myself, I don't think that I should be at the mercy of insurance companies or Dean Heller.
Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley. He's the Capitol Bureau Chief of the Nevada News Bureau, and you can read his work at NevadaNewsBureau.com. Great stuff every day, and we really appreciate it. The Brower-Leslie race, it's interesting. As campaigners themselves, they are extremely civil, and we had them on the program last week, and I thought it was very informative. You really got an idea of what the two candidates stood for. But on the other hand, the campaigns themselves, certainly on the Republican side, have already got very ugly. Do you think this is going to be one of the uglier races that we see?
Well, there's a month left or so to find out if that's the case. And I guess depending on polling numbers and maybe how close they're going, then certainly it could deteriorate into more of a mudslinging situation. I'd seen a poll recently where Senator Broward indicated he was up 10 points. So if you're Sheila Leslie, and if that's true, you must be drawing a lot of independent voters. I would be concerned, and so I might start looking at some of those issues that you could pull out of your little bag of research, that opposition research that you've done.
Sean, in 2008, you saw a lot of Democrats running as conservatives. Allison Kopening, Shirley Breeden said, we're not going to raise taxes. We have that same position as Bob Beers and Joe Heck, who they both defeated, do. It seems like this time there's a much clearer choice in where people are going and those different directions. Are you seeing that in the state Senate and assembly races?
I think that's true. It seems like the Democratic candidates have bought into the Democratic point of view, and the issue of taxes is one they want to discuss, as they did in the 2009 session. Republicans clearly are more conservative and more interested in taking a wait-and-see attitude. They do have the governor's support for the continuing those sunsetting taxes, so they can fall back on that revenue source going forward, knowing that there's hopefully going to be enough money to fund education and other basic services, although that's a question out there as well. So it does seem that there's a bigger distinction from the presidential level all the way down. It's a clearer choice for voters.
Let's talk about the Berkeley Health race. It's been interesting to me. Dean Heller was on the program, as you know, last week, and I was actually a little surprised that they would allow the candidate to be on a television program like this, so close to the election date. By contrast, the Berkeley campaign doesn't respond to my emails, texts, phone calls, anything. It seems like Shelley Berkeley is one of the most natural campaigners in the world, and even though she has not been in competitive races, it seems like she's the strongest thing they have, but not in a debate-type setting where it was obvious that both candidates were so tense and nervous.
Well, I think she's got a playbook, and she's playing it. I think probably she's getting advice from people like Senator Reid. Hammer on these issues. Hammer Senator Heller on Medicare. Hammer him on his jobs record. Hammer him on alternative energy. She's got a playbook. She's following that playbook, probably based on some advice from some folks who are helping run her campaign. And in the debate, she didn't seem to waver from that there either. So I think this is my plan, and I'm sticking to it kind of a situation.
Are you looking forward to seeing different things coming out of the next debates?
It would be nice. I'm not sure, depending on the format, and that was a criticism of that format, that they just sort of traded their little jabs back and forth. So it would be nice if they could get a little more into a discussion
of issues. What's the kind of format, as a journalist, that you like and appreciate?
Well, I think the best option is when they can ask each other questions and then have a chance for follow-up. I think the most important thing, both for people posing questions and the candidates themselves, is to be able to have a back and forth and a follow-up to hopefully get into a little more detail than just the sound bites and the one-liner types of comments.
And since I was going to
Go ahead. Go.
It's your show, buddy.
Well, I was going to say, Mitch Fox did such an outstanding job with the Reid Angle debate that I was disappointed that he was just the gatekeeper in this particular debate. Although I understand he did help polish up some of the questions, Ray Hager was the only one that got a chance to jump in and do a follow-up. But what it told me was that when we do debates on this program, that I should do them solo, and not because of any criticism of the co-host, but it just allows you to do more of that backward and forward follow-up and allow the candidates to engage more with each other.
I thought they were great questions. I thought the debate format obviously could have been a little more helpful in terms of encouraging discussion between the two candidates, but I thought the panelists were great, and I thought the performance of the candidates was, I guess, what they expected to get out of it. They delivered what they thought they needed to deliver.
How much do they matter? I mean, you know, most people that are looking and who are watching these, they're already rooting for a team. Do you think undecided voters are really sitting down and say, I want to learn about these issues and I'm going to watch the debate?
I'm not sure. I'm hopeful that the undecided voters are paying attention and making up their minds, and hopefully that number's dwindling here as early voting is going to start not too long from now. But I used to be with the political conventions. I always thought they were just throwaway little events for party officials. But the last two conventions, the Republican-Democrat convention, to me, showed how important those events can be for people, because the campaign sort of got some momentum, both did, out of those events. So I'm sort of changing my mind a little bit about how important these events are.
You know, it's interesting. Bob Brown, the publisher of the Review Journal, was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how there isn't so much political advertising in newspapers anymore because the campaigns think that people who read newspapers are educated, and therefore they don't need to go in and go after those via advertisements. So does that mean that the broadcast commercials that we're seeing are really truly aimed at the stupid people?
I don't know. No, I'm not sure I even want to go there, Sam, but it's an interesting question. Obviously, the commercials are kind of soundbite things. They're very simple. They're not overly complex. They're just sort of trying to get a message out. I'm a good person, vote for me, or he's a bad person, she's a bad person, you know, don't vote for them. It doesn't seem like it really helps the debate any, but it's obviously the way campaign money is spent nowadays.
And we're out of time. Come back soon, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Unless you're a cabinet maker, for the love of money, you shouldn't even consider new kitchen cabinets if you like the ones you have. Instead, consider Enhance, the revolutionary affordable way to renew your kitchen cabinets and flooring without the frustrations of installation and the cost. Enhance wood cabinetry and flooring renewal can be done in just one day for so much less and look so new. Look at these before and after photos. Amazing in just one day. Call Enhance now at 358-8808. Receive an 8-day, 7-night cruise with your renewal.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I'm not in favor of a $5 trillion tax cut. That's not my plan.
The nonpartisan tax policy center concluded that Mitt Romney's tax plan would cost $4.8 trillion over 10 years.
Why won't Romney level with us about his tax plan, which gives the wealthy huge new tax breaks? Because according to experts, he'd have to raise taxes on the middle class or increase the deficit to pay for it. If we can't trust him here, how could we ever trust him here?
Mom, can you help me with my math?
Is your child already scoring bad grades this school year? Shouldn't you call Sylvan and Reno now for help in getting better grades fast?
Mom.
It's your child and their future.
Mom, can you help me with my math?
I sure can.
Call Sylvan Learning Center in Reno at 829-2700. That's 829-2700. And ask about the guarantee. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We enjoyed him so much yesterday, we're holding him over for another day. Larry Mathias is here, the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. Farida Black Prothrow, host of Get Real America on KJFK Radio. And Sean Carey, political columnist for Reno Tahoe Tonight Magazine. Pleasure to have you guys back. And, you know, it's going to be interesting for you now because I'm going to talk to you about the vice presidential debate. We're talking about it prior to the debate, but by the time this airs on the radio this weekend, it'll be post-debate. So whatever you come up with is going to be interesting. What are the two candidates have to do to get the job done after the presidential debate?
Biden is the greatest gaffe machine to ever walk the planet. I think it's not going to be a surprise to anyone that Paul Ryan is going to shellack him in the debate. However, the question, which is going to be the interesting one, is just how soundly he defeats him, because if he goes too far, if Ryan takes it too far and he beats him too badly, it's going to backfire on the Romney campaign.
But, you know, a lot of the national political pundits say that, you know, Biden may be a gaffe machine, you know, out on the circuit, but when it comes to these kind of things, he's very disciplined, and he's very much a man of the people, whereas Paul Ryan is a man of the numbers. How do you think that's going to balance out?
You know, I totally disagree with Sean. I think that Joe Biden's going to do fine. I think people forget that he performed very well in 2008, albeit against Sarah Palin, which that's probably why it's minimized so much, because it was against Sarah Palin. But Joe Biden's a passionate guy. He is a man of the people. And I think that his passion will really shine through, and people will see that. Paul Ryan, not so much. I don't know that people are going to really buy what he's selling.
Larry, do you think that Paul Ryan's going to come out and say, hey, can I call you Joe?
Probably not. It's a good thing that vice presidents don't really matter and most people won't be watching this.
Now, hang on a second. Now, do you really think that not that many people will be watching? I mean, it was around 70 million for the first debate.
Yeah, and I think there was a special dynamic there that the future presidential debates won't get anywhere near that number. The vice presidential debate will get 5 minutes of fairly high-end viewership, and then it'll fade off. I think people will want to see it, but there'll be plenty of opportunity. No, I think for each of them, this is part of the justification that the team is solid. So for Biden, who after all spent 40 years in Washington D.C., I mean he knows how to answer the kind of political questions that are going to be asked. He knows. Never to really say anything all that interesting. So all he has to show is that he's not too strange to be vice president in case the worst happens. For Ryan, the problem is to show that he's mature enough to be vice president. He has come on the scene very quickly. It's more about deciding whether or not Romney's judgment is solid. This is a validation of Romney's decision-making abilities. So far more than the give and take of the debate are those dynamics.
One of the things that I brought up constantly on this show over the last couple of years is that I think that the debates, whether it was in the campaign, in the primary campaign, or even now, has become another version of an American Idol, where reality shows are so popular that I disagree with my good friend Larry and have to say that I think that there will be a large viewership for this, and you know, winners and losers will be chosen. How
reality
do you feel about
shows
it?
Are popular because
we're sick and tired of reality.
With this debate, yes, I agree with you, Sam. This debate is going to be, I think it's going to be well viewed, because this is Paul Ryan's first chance at the microphone. This is going to be his introduction to the American people, and I think people are interested to hear what he has to say. I think that where Ryan might end up wandering into the weeds is if he decides to get too wonky and bring out too many numbers, then he's not going to connect.
And thank God Jim Lehrer will not be the moderator.
Yes.
Do you have any last thoughts on this?
I think Joe Biden's going to do fine. I think it will be interesting, but vice presidential debates are found to always be fairly inconsequential.
All right, and I don't disagree there. Ed Vogel, writing in the Las Vegas Review-Journal last week about the changes coming to the Nevada legislature. Of the 21 state senators, at least 10 will be new. Of the 42 assembly members, 10 or more will also be rookies, and all four leaders in the two houses will be replaced with newcomers in the 2013 session. What kind of nightmare or joy is that for you, Larry?
Well, I think it, I would say it gives advantage governor. It'll take half the session for them to organize themselves, to really get to know who's taking what lead, who's going to be taking what positions, and just to learn the process. So I think it wasn't going to be a particularly activist legislative session anyhow, just because of the economy, the issues that are going to be driving it don't allow for a whole lot of activism. But but I think that they're going to be spending a lot of time trying to figure out who's going to be their leaders for the next few years.
All right, and this we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
See Dean Heller. See Jane Nevada and her healthcare team. See Dean Heller erasing all the care she needs by reducing Jane's access to preventive medical services like mammograms, contraception, and prenatal screenings. See Dean vote against equal pay for equal work. What is Jane to do? Wait, an idea comes to Jane. Turns out she has an eraser of her own. Dean Heller, bad for women, bad for Nevada. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Our ability to work means a lot more than just a paycheck. It's a source of pride, a form of service, a way to give back. That's why we work ourselves to the bone every day, even when we're sick, and even when we're hurt. But you may be entitled to workers' compensation benefits. I'm Kathleen Sigurdsson. If you're getting the runaround, call me. I'll take the insurance companies on head on.
Why are people smiling all over the city of Reno? It's because they've discovered Absolute Dental's affordable quality. Absolute Dental will help you and your family get the whiter, straighter, and healthier smiles you've all been looking for. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable so you'll never have to put off taking care of your teeth again. Now that's something to smile about. Just go to any Absolute Dental location right now or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
At Evergreen Carpet Care, when we say we live with your carpets, it means our service continues even after we've left the job. Because to us, people care is every bit as important. So we're constantly striving to offer the best possible customer service in the business.
For example, we do something that no one else does. We'll give you a follow-up call to make sure your job was done perfectly. And I mean perfectly. If not, we'll make it right. We promise.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever evergreen.
This is the Carson City Courthouse. I'm Angela Bullantini.
And I'm Charlie Kilpatrick. If you've been injured in a work or auto accident, call us at 882-6112 to protect your legal rights.
We are here for you. Please call for a free case evaluation.
Increase the quality of your life and the quantity of your years. Learn more about the risk factors for diabetes and ways you can increase your odds of a healthy future.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, we take a look at an elementary school on the Nellis Air Force Base and the problems they're having, and they are huge. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.